You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Going to be fourth down. Play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
Come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
And welcome back to another edition of Inside Ben Davis Football, live from the RV across the street from Ben Davis High School. I'm your host, LeVon Durden. Once again, joining me is Jeff Robinson.
I'm back again, and hopefully for another week.
John Easter.
Well, LeVon, this is we've made it through the full season of Inside Ben Davis Football, and I think this is the first time since we've done this format that we've done that. So I'll say congratulations to Coach Kirshner, and I'll let you introduce him.
And head coach of the state finalist Ben Davis High School football team, Mike Kirshner.
It's good to be here again. Good to be here at Arby's, 10th Street. Good to be here considering LeVar Durden didn't really think we'd be here for the last 5 weeks. So the naysayers out there. So, no, I'm just giving him a hard time. It's been fun. It's been a fun ride. And when you think about it, this is week 14. I believe, you know, because we had the week off last week with the bye week. So 14 weeks of this, it's been, as with the team, it's been a fun ride, as well as doing the radio show.
Well, as we look back at what happened, not last week, but 2 weeks ago in the 6A class semi-state finals, obviously Carmel beating Penn 14-13 in a wild one. But the bigger of the two games was obviously the Giants game. Final score was 49-45, but the Giants were down 17 at the end of the third?
No, with 4:41 to go in the third, we were down 45-28.
Right, so yeah. 45-28.
Almost the end of the third quarter. We had about a quarter, a little over a quarter to play. We were down 45-28.
But what I want to know is your overview of what happened. How did this comeback become a reality?
Well, we'll start from the beginning. I thought we started off well. You know, they drove down. We got a big stop once they got in our territory. And then Chris Evans exploded. Dorian Tate was out again last week. Chris Evans exploded for a 80-some-yard run, you know, one that we really didn't block well. He kind of reversed his field and took off and got up 7-0. They came down, scored, made it 7-7. We answered, went up 14-7. I thought, you know, we're kind of clicking. If we can get our defense to kind of pick it up a little bit, and then they scored and made it 14-14, and they scored and made it 21-14, and honestly, we were on our heels. Their running game was really efficient, you know, with Daggett and Norris, Max Norris and McCoy. They were running the ball really at will at us. You know, they had, I think, 500 and some yards offense when the night was over. Kind of built the lead, and the one I was really disappointed, we got it to 28-21 right before half, and then we gave up a kickoff return. And that was one of the things that, you know, the special teams played pretty well most of the night. That one bothered me. Led them to get a field goal right before half, made it 31-21. We were down 10. You know, but for us, that sounds like a lot, but it's not from the way we played offense all year. We come out right away, score, make it 31-28, and then they just kind of take it to us. They, you know, they score, make it 38-28. Then they score, make it 45-28. And we just needed something to kind of go. We got a big interception out of Jalen Harden. And from the 4:41 on and all of the third quarter left and all the fourth quarter, we actually stopped him four times. You know, two interceptions, once on a big fourth down play. Tackle was made by sophomore linebacker Will Pate, who was inserted in the game for specific reasons, and he ended up with, I think, six tackles for loss, so that was huge. And in between that time, the off kind of got going. You had Kyle throwing it, which was really effective. He dished it out. We had some great catches by receivers, True Smith, Story Emerson, Brennan Gillis. You know, we got it to 45-42. when we kicked off, there was several minutes to go in the game. Center Grove did what Center Grove did, drove it down, you know, got it to a fourth and two, long one, probably not really two, and you're kind of sitting there, you know, if they get the first down, the game's really over. I had a couple timeouts left. We're kind of sitting on them. Will, we blitzed. They took a timeout. We blitzed everybody, and Will made the big stop. And, you know, and then from there it was handoff, first down, handoff. And I'll be honest with you, when I saw Chris take off and bounce to the outside, I saw Story Emerson make a key block on the edge. And I literally, I turned to the person next to him and I said, crap, he's got the sideline. It's touchdown. And the coach looked, and he did one of these real quick, and he goes, you're right. I mean, he just seemed to – I mean, it was – you could just kind of see the play develop, and all of a sudden the receiver pins that guy, and you know, and he races 70-some yards for a touchdown, and defense made a stop there at the end again. Like I said, the last four or five possessions we were able to stop, and it was the first seven possessions we didn't stop them, you know. So they're a good team, you know. They're a good football team. You look at from the time we beat them the first time when they were 1-3 to where they were at now. They went from 1-3 to 9-3, and in that game winning streak, they were averaging 50 points a game, only giving up about 8 or 9 points a game, and so most of those were to Cathedral that they gave up 38 to. So they had worked real hard to get to that point, and we knew it was going to be a tough battle, and we were fortunate.
Once again in this tournament, you've been really a comeback team, come from behind, the dramatic win again. Where is this resilience coming from within this squad?
Well, I think it, Jeff, I think it boils down to our seniors. I think we got a group of kids who are, in some cases, three-year starters, like Kyle Kastner, like Justin Brandon, like Cache Wilder. You got a lot of two-year starters in Tim Fields, Norman Oglesby, Asmar Bilal, Jalen Harden, Brennan Gillis, you know, and the list kind of, Dorian Tate, Chris Evans, who started last year as a sophomore, is now a junior. So you start going through that, and you got a lot of experience, a lot of kids who a year before, 2 years before, were in big games. You know, I know we didn't get very far in the tournament, but both of those years we were co-conference champs, and that lends itself to being able to handle tough situations. I will tell you, in our locker room at halftime, I was a little shocked. You know, I'm not holding anything back here. And I thought our kids' heads were down. You know, we were down 31-21, and we kind of had to refocus. You know, there wasn't a yelling. Nobody was screaming, hollering. Just get your heads up and refocus. You know, and then, of course, we go down and we get down 17. But I still didn't get a sense that if we just didn't get something rolling, we needed to make a play defensively. We knew that. But we just needed something to kind of roll. And I think that was to our seniors. I really do. I think they're the heart and soul of what we do.
Well, it's kind of the point, Coach, that now you watch this team and, you know, when you see them, you just can't give up. I mean, I know I think that was the headline in the spotlight was never give up.
Right.
And especially with just Jeff just nailed it with the resiliency of this squad. And I think I asked even last week when we talked about something similar to this, with Kyle Kastner being cool under pressure. You got Chris Evans now, and you, I think you just nailed everything that I wanted to ask you about. So,
sorry about that.
That's okay. But I just, I mean, it's remarkable at a high school level to see this kind of resiliency. I think, if I'm right on this, three of the four games now in the tournament that you played, you've trailed in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we trailed it. We trailed at Pike. We trailed with Center Grove. We trailed with Warren. The only one we led going to the fourth quarter was Avon, and we were up 34-14 going into the fourth, and then had to hold on because they scored and scored, made it 34-27 because, you know, they got a great quarterback and a good tailback and Griffin. So, I mean, you know, so I think it really boils down to, you know, you've got a kid like Kyle Kastner who's the quarterback who's been through, I don't know how many games, 40-some games, you know, what, I don't know, 30-some games as a football player, and he's kind of seen everything thrown at him, so nothing really rattles him, nothing, you know, he kind of goes with the flow and makes plays when he has to, and so I just think it lends itself to our leadership and our maturity.
You mentioned, though, that Center Grove had their running game going. A couple of key injuries, I think, happened. Obviously, losing the big kid.
Max Norris. Absolutely.
Name escaped me there. Losing him on that long run down the sidelines really hurt them. And then later on, McCoy, I think, went out as well.
Uh-huh.
Talk a little bit about how those injuries affected what they wanted to do.
Yeah, well, obviously, and I even said it to the Star in the paper that losing Max Norris might was a game changer. You know, not that we wouldn't have fixed it, but he's really good. And you watch the eight games leading up to it. I mean, he'd just go out and carry the ball 15 times, have 200 yards, call it a night, score five touchdowns, and he's a big, strong, fast kid. And on the play, he got hurt. You know, we've got probably our fastest kid chasing him, and he's losing ground. You know, and he's a track kid. He's a 100-meter kid for Coach Davidson. And he's chasing this kid, and he's not catching him, which is really rare for our DB not to catch people in situations like that. So that just tells you the kind of speed. So I'm sure that changed their game plan a little bit. But the thing about Eric Moore's offense is it's designed just to insert the next back. So, you know, Daggett wasn't getting a lot of carries early in the year, and all of a sudden Max goes down, and he's doing the job. I mean, their offense didn't really slow down, you know. And then McCoy got hurt, but came back, got dinged a little bit and came back. But it definitely affects it. But at the same time, we weren't playing LeSean Johnson, our fullback and our goal line guy and our special teams guy. We weren't playing Dorian Tate, who was sitting on the bench with an ankle. So we were down a little bit too, and injuries are part of the game, and you just got to find a way to keep punching.
Well, defensively, obviously at first it seemed like the defense of the Giants was kind of struggling. They were obviously down by 17, but after Max Norris went out and the defense started picking up, there was one guy in particular that got a lot of attention. I know Channel 40, when I watched the replay of that game, it was brought up, of course, with my partner. He brought it up quite a bit, and the guy I'm talking about is William Pate. Came out of nowhere, someone that really you don't prepare for because he hadn't done really anything all season. You put him in here, and he goes off. Where did that come from?
Well, Will's always had it. For Will, it was a growing up thing. In practice, you know, he's been our JV starting linebacker all year. He's a sophomore. He just it was a maturity thing, you know, and it's still a struggle. You know, at practice sometimes, even tonight, it's a struggle. When he wants to play and he wants to focus, he's got the potential to be a very, very good linebacker at the 6A level. But he's got to grow up. You know, he's got to get physically stronger. But the role we asked him to play, which was a very limited role, and if you noticed and you really watched the game, he wasn't in there for long periods of time. But it was a very specific role we'd have him play, and he took advantage of it. I think, like I said, he had six tackles for loss. He took advantage of the opportunity he was given and has made the most of it, and he'll get another opportunity here in about 3 days.
Something that really kind of catches my eye in terms of looking at the numbers on how you've made this trip this far, the number of points you've given up in the tournament. Your low point total given up, the 27 to Avon.
Yeah.
How do you explain being able to advance against this kind of competition, giving up this many points?
Well, you can look at it as, all right, we can play really good defense and not give up a lot of points and maybe not score as many. Or we've got some really talented kids on offense, and we take advantage of that as well. And defensively, it's just it's honestly, it's been a struggle all year. It's not, I'm not telling my players anything they don't know. At times, we just, you know, there's anomalies in there. For instance, the first Center Grove game was 28-0, you know, and you look at it, we held Cathedral to 19 points, counting the safety in the first game of the season, you know, and then we'll turn around and just get drilled by somebody, you know, and it's we struggle with sometimes our mental focus and our mental toughness, and it shows up, and teams take advantage of it, and we just keep telling our defense, find a way to make enough stops to get the offense to the ball and let them do what they do best.
At the same time, to your credit, it seems like you've been able to come up with the big stop when you've needed it in the tournament run.
Right. You look at the last game. We had two big interceptions by Jalen Harden in the second half and a big fourth down stop. You go back to the Warren game. You know, we honestly, when they were driving and it's 33-33, we're literally saying we just got to keep them to a field goal. We keep them to a field goal. We keep them to a field goal. We make a great second. I think it's second and about seven, and we throw them for a loss. McKelty tries to bounce it out. We throw them for a loss. Hold them to, honestly, a 45-yard field goal, which in a lot of cases isn't what you think is going to beat you. But the kid made a nice kick, and, you know, they were able to execute it. You look at the Pike game. We had a big interception for a touchdown by Jalen Harden, a pick six, that kind of sealed that game. That game was kind of in doubt till that happened. So we've been opportunistic when we've had to be. You just like to be a little stouter in between, and we've struggled with that.
Well, that's going to do it here for the first half. Obviously, again, the Giants won their 6A class matchup with a final score of 49-45 over the Center Grove Trojans. Now when we come back, it's State against none other than the Carmel Greyhounds. A 30-second break, then we'll be right back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network. And welcome back here live to Inside Ben Davis Football, live from Arby's across the street from Ben Davis High School. I'm LeVon Durden. Once again, joining me is Jeff Robinson.
I'm back.
John Easter.
Hello, LeVon.
And head coach of the state-bound Ben Davis Giants football team, Mike Kirshner.
Good to be back. Let's find out what's next.
Well, it is no shocker to anybody anymore in Wayne Township. It's been spread around, but it's clear the Giants are going to Lucas Oil Stadium. They're playing the Carmel Greyhounds in a rematch of a week five, I want to say.
Nope, week seven.
Week seven. Yep. Yeah, two off.
Oh, closer. But a week seven matchup, which the Giants lost 37-14.
Did you get this? I put it in your mail today.
That's the one thing I did not.
Okay.
I've been doing tours all day. But, again, they did lose 37-14 to the Greyhounds. But one thing that I know you've kind of made clear, and a lot of people made clear, the conditions are going to be different than what you guys played against Carmel. How have you guys gone about preparing for a state-level matchup?
Well, obviously you're playing a very good football team. They're 13-0. They've won the MIC. They won the sectionals, the regionals. They had a tough road game up north, the Penn, 2 weeks ago when we played Center Grove. Make a long story short, the first time we played them, weather conditions weren't very good, but that doesn't justify the butt beating we took. Basically, like I told all the reporters yesterday or Monday at the media, IHSA media day, was they took us behind the woodshed and they gave it to us. You know, the weather didn't mean that their offensive line dominated our D-line or their D-line dominated our O-line, which is kind of what happened, which led to the free-for-all. The score, 37-14, was not really indicative of the game. It was not that close. You know, I'm not mincing words. We didn't play well. We counted 11 drop passes. Kyle still threw for 250 yards, but we had 11 drop passes. We had 7 bad center snaps. And honestly, the drop pass and the center snaps have nothing to do with the conditions. I mean, if they hit you in the hands, you still have to catch them. 3 of those drop passes were wide-open touchdowns. One was on a fourth down seam right – I mean, he's in the end zone. He just has to catch it, and he's in the end zone. So we didn't play well, which is because of them. They were very physical. I thought they tackled very, very well. And their offensive scheme puts – they motion and shift so much that they put you in conflict mentally and try to get you out of position, which they did. You know, they've got what I call the four-headed monster, which is their running game. You got the Perkins kid who was playing receiver, DB, but also plays quarterback. You got Pascal, who's the big, strong fullback that they run a bunch and very powerful kid. You got Perkins, 21, who's very elusive, quicker, not as big a runner in between the tackles as Pascal. And I know he hasn't played much since our game week 7, you got the quarterback, Victrop, number 12, I believe, who is he was a state qualifier in track. He's unbelievably fast and throws the ball really, really well. And so if Victrop's back and he's healthy, which I know he played a little bit last 2 weeks ago against Penn, so I don't really know what his complete status is, but you take those four, you're dealing with a very powerful offensive system. And then on the defensive side, you got number 4, and I never remember his name, big outside linebacker's got D1 offense.
Noah Burks,
thank you. Very good. They got number 92, big DN, who's really good, and very impressive, and their kicking game is excellent. So it wasn't so much that, you know, I don't want to use the weather as a reason, because weather doesn't stop you from playing hard. Weather doesn't stop you from tackling. Weather doesn't stop you from hitting. Weather doesn't stop you from getting off blocks. And we did none of those things, which is because of what Carmel did to us.
You and I talked after that Carmel game, and one thing that caught my eye was I questioned the amount of hitting that your defense was doing at that time. It seems like you guys have worked a lot on that. How can that make a difference in terms of trying to negate their running game?
Well, we have. Since that game, our practices have been very, very physical, very, very demanding, to the point where some of my coaches are real concerned that we've gone to the other extreme and you risk injury. We haven't to this point, but you do. There is a little bit of a gamble when you do that. But the idea was we weren't physical the night we played them. We'd lost 2 weeks earlier to Warren, and we were beginning to question our physicality. And then we played Lawrence North, won relatively easy. Our offense exploded, I don't know, 21 points in four plays. And so maybe got another false sense that we were okay. Okay, and then we turned around and played Carmel, and they really kind of exposed some things we weren't real happy with 2 weeks earlier, but thought we got away with. So we changed our practice schedule. You know, we followed that up with a tough win over LC, then North Central, and then obviously our tournament run. But I think it's helped us. You know, you can only make a kid so tough, but at some point at the high school level, you got to be able to hit them. And we didn't think we were earlier, so we'll see how it goes from here.
Coach, obviously your offense so far this year, according to the stats I have here, 6,082 yards
school,
of offense.
School record.
By far a school record.
Yeah, the school record was in 15 games.
Right, and yeah. Not even, I mean, not it doesn't even come close.
It was
close.
Like 55,000 something prior to this.
Carmel, and averaging 467.8 yards a game.
That's
Carmel,
us, 400.
Right, yeah. Right. Carmel gives up only 268 yards per game. And only gives up 11.5 points. You guys average 41.8 points. Strength versus strength here.
Right.
That's what it looks like to me.
Well, you're right. Our offense has got to find a way to move the ball on their defense. We moved it at times against them the first time, but again, you know, we had a fumble early. We had a drop punt snap early. We put our defense in a hole. And honestly, going into halftime, we were down 17-0, and defensively, we didn't feel it, although we were on our heels. It wasn't bad because we'd given them so many short fields to play in. But their defense is excellent. There's no question. Our offense has been working real hard to try to take advantage of some of the things they may give up in their defensive scheme and continue. I don't know what's going to happen Saturday, Friday night, but, you know, to know that we scored 49 on Pike, 34 on Avon, 40 on Warren, and Warren was only giving up about 9 or 10 points a game we played them, and then 49 on Center Grove, which I think are four pretty good football teams. That speaks volumes of what our offensive firepower has the ability to do.
When it comes to Carmel, last time you guys played them, they obviously took whatever you gave them, which was pretty much right up the gut. And that was something that kind of stuck with me when you guys played all the teams that you have, the teams that you've had after Carmel, but how do you plan on stopping the run in the pass this time around, especially when, like I said, they don't take more than you give them?
Well, we're going to have to find a way. We've been working real hard on scheme, trying to change our defensive scheme a little bit to take away the inside zone, which is what Pascal hurt us on so much the first time, and then deal with the jet and outside zone, which is what James hurt us on before he had to go to quarterback when Vic Tripp went down in the third quarter. So we've been working real honestly since we got beat by him. We've been working really hard thinking if we get fortunate enough to get back here, we got to have a plan. We got to have a system. So we're going to do some things differently, try to take some things away. I don't know that you slow them down completely, but we got to find a way to slow them down enough that our offense can get the ball.
I'd like to kind of go back and talk about you personally going through this experience. You've been there as an assistant coach along the way. How is this different as the head coach going into a state championship game?
Well, quite different, actually. You know, I was there twice under Coach Delahan as an assistant and was forever grateful for those opportunities. I became the head coach 8 years ago, and you think you're going to get there, and It sounds easier than it is. And after we won Center Grove, everybody says, you know, I enjoyed that night. And everybody says, you got to enjoy this. You got to take some time, step back, you know. And the answer is I have to a point, but the level of commitments and expectations and meetings and media and have all been ramped up more so than I've ever had to deal with before in my life. And so as much as I'm trying to just focus on practice and the game, the demands on my time are so much more than they were, that you just you got to stop at some point. I keep telling myself every day, just like tonight, I really enjoyed practice. I told myself, because Monday I didn't, and I had a long day Monday down with the IHSA, and some things happened there that don't make me real happy, and I went home. I went back to practice frustrated, and I didn't handle practice well. That was me personally, as much as anything. Tonight, I made the decision I was going to go out there and I was going to have fun. And the kids had fun. It was cold. Kids didn't care. Mark Lahr, our trainer, walked up and said, "We're going to cut this off in about 5 or 10 minutes." He goes, "There's no hurry. Your kids are having a blast," and they were. They were running around, having fun, thinking it was the greatest thing. You wouldn't know they were cold. I'm sure they were. You know, at one point I took off my coat and my hoodie and my long sleeve shirt, and I'm out there in a T-shirt, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm freezing, and I'm out there just running around going, ain't cold. I'm thinking, oh my God, let's be done. I'm freezing. So that's what I remember. You know, I sat them down on the field at the end, and I had them look north. I had them look north at the scoreboard, which wasn't up. That's in the garage door shut on the scoreboard. I said, take a picture of what it would look like to put 2014 under 1999 there. I said, put that picture in your mind, because in about 72 hours, that's what you're going to get the opportunity to do. So.
Well, that was going to be my question.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
I'm reading your mind tonight, John.
That's what happens. No. He kind of answered. And by the way, we did get an Ask Kirsch quote.
Oh, my goodness. Roll.
But I feel like... I feel like you've already answered it. The Ask Kirsch question was, how are you going to stop Carmel's offense? And yeah, I think you've already.
It's going to be about scheme and personnel. There's going to be some personnel changes and some scheme changes.
And it was Alex Kirby, so he did identify it as the Auburn offense.
There you go. It is. It exactly.
You know, you personally, I'm not going to lie. I'm not unbiased here at all. You're my friend, and I really have enjoyed this run probably more than any other.
That's awesome. Thanks.
Because I don't think there are certain, you know, obviously the offense puts up the numbers that it puts up, and it has made, I think, it has covered up some things that maybe in the past the defense covered up for the offense. But, you know, as you look, I mean, you know, I'm very happy for you. Personally.
Thank you.
I can just remember being up there and you know, the emotion of everything and just my experience being up in that press box at Center, you know, for the Center Grove game, and I look around and it's like it's full. I mean, Alex Kirby's up there and he's pulling my jersey, you know. I had like a wind shirt on and he's pulling that thing nearly off. And then you know, the game ends and I'm it. I'm the only one in the press box. It's Dave Lindsay and the PA guys, the radio crew. And I'm the only one in the middle of the press box there. And I just sat down and I started crying. I really did. And you know, I haven't been out there and you hit on the team. They sounded like they were having a blast tonight. I mean,
yeah.
I was listening to them and there was yelling and screaming and they were having fun, and you could tell it wasn't like exasperated yells. And I mean, they were out there having a blast. And this has just been a fun group of guys, a fun group of football team. But, you know, like I said, there's no question here. I'm just happy for you.
Well,
I really am.
That.
And
the neat
I'll
thing,
second I'm, that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.
And you know, I know you've taken your share over the years.
I've been abused. It's all right.
And it probably, you know, I'm here to tell you, probably won't go away after this.
Nope.
But I'm very happy for you.
Thank
I
you.
Really am, and I hope, and I think a lot of people out there are.
Yeah, I'm going to add something
this,
to that,
and for the rest of
the school, and Wayne Township. You know, some things happened. For instance, this morning, the teachers served the entire football team, cheerleaders, managers, trainers, pancake and sausage breakfast. Something they used to do back in the '80s and '90s that kind of got lost over the years. And to see Sherry and Mark Montgomery in there cooking hamburgers and dairy – or hamburgers, pancakes, Derek Eaton, and serving our kids. It's not a buffet. They're serving our kids. The kids are eating. The kids – Dr. Butts is there, and Sandy Squire's there, and they're all just – chipping in. Dennis Tackett from the administration building, and it's like John Taylor, and like, wow, this is really neat, and to see the community, you know, and our community in some respects has some tough lives. You know, we've talked about this and before, and some of the guys that they come from tough walks of life, and to see people walk around with a Ben Davis shirt on, and they're proud, you know, and when that happens, it's good for me to see other people enjoy the ride of the football team. And I keep telling the kids, and they've heard me say it 25 times in the last 2 days, be respectful and be thankful, because there's a whole lot of people that if you're on their back, and they're riding you down to Lucas Oil because they want to feel good about being part of Wayne Township. And
absolutely.
And I said it this morning to Dr. Butts, we are Wayne. This football team, this community, we are Wayne. That's what we are, and that's what we aspire to be part of, and we're blessed to have gotten this far. And, you know, the critics can say what they want, do what they want, call me what they want. I really don't care. We're going to Lucas Oil, and we're going to have fun Friday, win or lose.
There's been only one other individual to lead this program to a state finals.
And he's a pretty good guy.
Dick Dullahan. And he'll be calling the game with Jerry Baker.
Yes, he will.
So,
yeah, I met with him today, had an interview with Coach Dullahan today.
Got to talk to him a little bit the other day, and he was beaming. You know, of course,
I do have a question.
Dick's always beaming.
I do have a question, and this is a radio question.
Okay.
I know our intro's been our intro forever and ever.
Yeah.
Any chance the finish to what they announced on the game-winning touchdown against Center Grove becomes part of the intro? Huh?
That was a great finish.
It was a great – listen to them call it. Me and my wife have played it multiple times. They kept speaking. They didn't get silent. They knew what was going on.
And LeVon and turned down the mics as they were going.
And the enthusiasm in their voice was contagious.
Absolutely.
I thought it was a great job by those guys. I really did.
And Corey will hear this when he's putting the pregame together. So there you go,
good,
Corey.
Good, good. I wanted to make note of that.
Well, after that four-minute talk to you.
See, LeVon, man, he is just like...
I'm sorry if I've kept you from something.
You're not keeping me for anything. You're not keeping me
for 4 weeks. I didn't think we'd even be here.
We have some of the easiest jobs in radio talking to you.
But
LeVon just keeps us honest, doesn't
he? That's right. Keeps us grounded.
Keep going.
Is there anything else you haven't told us that you want to say in your final words?
Be careful, man. He's got your grade first period.
Purple Rain did a great job against Center Grove. I mean, our student section was great. I didn't see hardly any student section on the other side, which really shocked me. I didn't, you know, so I don't think I have to ask them to come out on Friday, because I think they're all planning on being there. Dylan Lighty and Dontre Graves have been great leading it. I'm happy for the community, and I hope we just go down and enjoy the day.
Well, and just real quick, I think that you guys are living proof that if you just keep doing things right, things will come out in your favor. And let's finish the job now, Giants. Yeah.
And happy Thanksgiving to all Ben Davis fans. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, it's kind of clear. I told Easter I'd fit this in somewhere. The Giants, the finish line is obviously near. But now the question that remains is, will they walk it or will they run it as a group? We are Wayne. We are Giants. It's a beautiful thing.
And we are one.
We are one.
We are one.
Absolutely.
So thank you to Corey in the studio for another great episode being there for us. And Coach Kirshner, we do have another show for you next Tuesday.
We'll wrap up.
Win or lose, we'll see what happened. And then from there on, we'll see where the Giants go from there with the whole... I'm sorry. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming being
it's
here.
Neat. It's neat to be along for the ride, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it really is.
I talked
is.
To Tom Hayes about that. He said it's been great experience for his kids to be along. Same with the TV, everybody.
Any chance you could maybe get a couple players here next week?
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't be a problem at all. That would not be a problem.
Maybe we'll have to extend the show next week.
Hey, who knows?
I'd like to talk to a couple of those guys.
Okay. Yeah, I can arrange it.
Well, that's going to do it.
Especially if they're eating.
That's going to do it for this week. Again, the Giants playing none other than the Carmel Greyhounds this Friday, 7:05 expected kickoff time. I'm not sure if that will end up happening with the other two great matchups that are happening that day. But nonetheless, Giants play Carmel Greyhounds this Friday for the Class 6A state championship. That's going to do it here from Inside Ben Davis Football as we send it back to the studio here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.